Blog Talk Radio.
Come bring me your softness. Comfort me through all this madness. Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again.
Come give me your sweetness. Now that you there is no weakness, lying safe within your arms, I'm born again.
I was half, not whole. Instead, with none,
reaching to this world in need of one.
Come show me your kindness. In your arms, I know I'll find this. Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again.
Lying safe with you, I'm born
me through all this madness. Woman, don't you know with you I'm born again.
From the Love Channel, and welcome you here tonight. Topic is about twin souls, which I'm kind of excited about because I really have put it on the back burner for a little bit, and it really has been a very, very interesting concept for me for the last 20 years because I've bumped into numerous relationships that told me that I was their twin soul. So I thought it was really a good topic for tonight. I want to thank everybody for last week's show. It was really powerful for me, and it was definitely a catharsis, and I really feel like there was a rebirth that occurred in me, and I want to thank especially Jordae, the artist, and Lydia for being on either side of me last week, because it really did help me recenter and realize that I'm safe and loved no matter where I am and no matter what I do. I see there's a bunch of callers tonight. I'm really excited about that, because I invited everybody that I know on Facebook to come and share their love story. Because for me, it's been a difficult run in trying to finish my book that I started back in 2008 called Twin Soul Reunion, A Match Made in Heaven. And at that point, I felt very, very guided to write this book. And for the last year and a half or so, I've been struggling with the last chapter. So I thought maybe tonight I would get some kind of inspirations to finish the book. And so what I thought I'd do to start off the show is to talk a little bit about Twin Souls and what they kind of mean to the general public. So I thought I'd open up Wikipedia, which I thought was like a perfect place to start. And what it says here basically is the twin flame, also Twin Soul, is a spiritual or New Age concept describing a special soul connection between two halves of the same soul. According to the mythology of twin flames, in the beginning of time, we were created as a perfect soul that was split into two soul halves, one male and one female, that would then be cast upon earth to be forever looking for one another. They would reincarnate over lifetimes with this longing for each other, and once they finally meet, they would reunite and be blissfully in love and then leave the physical plane as one whole individual. And then it goes on to say, there are plenty of modernized theories of twin flames, most of which now accept that the halves are not necessarily a male and female, but can also be homosexual. But twin flame concept is very much still tied to monogamous deals. Also, most theorists accept that this is not a relationship that can be experienced one in all life cycles only, but repeats over several. However, most take it as a sign of spiritual enlightenment and a sign of evolution. And I find that is pretty cool. I'm going to go on to talk about other people's versions, which is Plato, which I use in my book later on. But I wanted to kind of start with that because for me it's really a difficult concept because the path that I've been on is called A Course in Miracles, and it basically says that there really is no body, that what's going on here is an outpicturing of a feeling, a vibrational, you know, essence of love or love's opposite, which is fear. And it says that, you know, love is real and the fear is an illusion. So for me, this is kind of a hard thing to accept, at least it has been for many years, because back in 1994, I had an awakening, and it was profound. I met a man. I came back to my life at that time because I had visited this man in another part of the country. And I came back, and my life had shifted dramatically. And what many told me was an epiphany or an awakening at the time. And I was meant to meet this man to change my life. Well, when I came back, I went to a wonderful experience in Unity Church in West Palm Beach. And who was the presenter there but Brian Weiss, who is the master as far as the science of mind, psychology, in the concept called reincarnation. He's done many, many individual sessions with people where he has identified, you know, different lives in them. And his first book is Many Lives, Many Masters. So I had gone to this wonderful presentation, not knowing what it was all about, and I was one of the people that was picked to tell my story, which I did, and he said, well, you know, you met your Siamese twin. And for me, not having any concept of spirituality, I thought that was pretty interesting, but I had no, you know, real feelings about that other than, well, I guess something strange happened because I'm not the same, and this man obviously had some kind of impact on my life. Anyway, after that point, I was totally in love. And maybe about 2 years later, I met another man who told me that I was his twin flame, and I really, again, thought that was interesting because I had still no idea what he was talking about. And he sent me a book called Twin Soul. I can't even remember the name now, but it was a profoundly beautiful book. And there's a lot of things in this book that kind of resonated with what I had experienced with this man. So that was pretty interesting. And we became pretty close in that we shared art and we shared poetry. And it seemed like he triggered in me a very, very creative side of myself because I was inspired very, very much so to write more poetry. Shortly after that, when I realized that, you know, that relationship wasn't really what, I mean, it was made out to be, it was just really an inspirer for me, another epiphany experience, because I started channeling a lot of beautiful poetry and doing graphic art to match it and putting them together. And then shortly after, I met another man who told me that I was his twin flame. And I spent 9 years with this man, and I didn't know what he meant. Still, I mean, I had a connection. We were very spiritual. We wrote a bunch of books together. And we were really connected in that, you know, we had the same kind of energy, same kind of healing energy that when we were around people, they felt better and felt empowered and inspired. And shortly after that, I ended that relationship, and a man came into my life that had been in my life. He re-entered my life, and something happened that never happened to me before in my life. I really started feeling like a child. I started feeling a sense of innocence that I hadn't felt for many years, probably from the time I was like 14 or 15. And all I wanted to do is spend time with this man. All he wanted to do was spend time with me. And it evolved so much and so much that, you know, I really started feeling like it was a natural breath in me to be with this part of me. And it encouraged me to write this book. And I started writing chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. And then all of a sudden, something happened in the relationship within me and out at me with the relationship. And it kind of started having some conflict, and it started becoming discordant and not aligned, you know, not peaceful. And it stopped me dead in my tracks, and I could not finish this book. But what I came to realize through this experience was that now I understood what the other three men were saying to me, that I was aligning me that most resonated with the heart of my being, with the frequency called love. So that's what I want to start the show with tonight. And I want to share one more thing, and then I'm going to open the line. Today, earlier, Bridget was a lovely lady who did a lot of twin soul work on the internet, and she started a new group. Either that or she added to her existing group a concept called Cosmic Twins. And I viewed her page today, and I saw one person's commentary on twin souls. And in this statement of fact, at least her fact, she stated that she had come to realize that the twin soul was not necessarily a body, a specific body, but it could be a vibration that is made known in your world, and it matches best where you are in the current moment. And I tell you the truth, she put together in that one sharing, which is probably about four paragraphs, what I had shared in the I think it's six chapters of my book. But today I came to realize something different. And I came to realize, at least for me, that there is only one. There is only one representative of the true state of my heart. Because I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that I had been with soul unions before. I had been with soulmates before. And every one of those experiences that I was with best matched where I was at the time, the evolution of my heart and my consciousness. And each one met me on that level, and that they responded on that level. They gave me exactly what I needed to help me move past what I had been, you know, working through as far as opening my heart. And I always share that, you know, I was here to heal the heart of man. But in fact, I was here to heal the heart of Ananda, because I had barriers in front of me, as we all do. We're all here, really, to become naked in front of love, to become to matching that which we are with a mirror image. So for me, I know that the one that I met is the one that best represents the true essence of my being, the true state of love, because there is nothing about the perfection of that experience, the memory of that experience, that dies, because it goes with me wherever I go. There is not it's not about another body. Yet it is a body, because I see the body, I feel the body, I taste the body. There's an essence of that body that is absolutely one with all that I am. Never experienced this before. And as I say, you know, a lot here, I've had many relationships, whether they be platonic with men and women, or they be the marriage relationships that I had my children with. They were beautifully placed by me to help me remove blocks to love. So I'm going to stop with that for now, and I want to just have the callers expound on it. I want everybody here to just open to the possibilities that perhaps there is an aspect of them that is waiting to reunite with them. And again, it's not an outside job. In my understanding, it is inside, but once I am it, the reflection or the mirror does show me that. And I've been so blessed, I feel, to have come into that experience, because I am well fed on that experience. And I know that it is part of the life force. But I'm going to open the line to the first caller, and that is area code 720. And if you'd like to talk, feel free. If not, it's okay. You can listen. And again, I thank you all for being here. Hello, who's calling?
Hello, hi, my name is Michelle.
Hi, love. Thanks for coming on. Did you want to share it tonight?
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to say that though I don't know what it's like to meet a twin flame, I know that I did, you know, meet my soulmate. And when we did,
okay,
you know, meet again, time stopped. Like, it literally slowed down. And that's how I knew that, you know, that it was something, because time literally slowed down. Like, everything slowed except for the two of us.
That's so beautiful. Could you maybe elaborate on a little bit more what it meant to you for time to stop, what it looked like, what it felt like?
Yeah, it felt very strange, and, you know, it seemed like you were suspended in air, actually. And the strange thing about it was that I looked at him from the bottom up, because I was actually sitting down and he was standing up, so I didn't know who it was. But throughout that whole time, until, you know, I looked up and saw his face, it was like a slow crawl up his body. So I figured out, you know, that it was him. And we actually had gone to school together, so once I saw his face, I knew who he was. But why time was going slow when I was looking at him from, you know, his feet up, I didn't even know who he was. Me know, but my soul knew who he was, just from us coming.
Did you have this experience more than once with him, or just once?
No, it was just that one time, you know, when we connected back again.
And what happened since then?
We're married. We got married. And we've been together about 14 years.
I love it. And how is it now?
It was great, but we are not yoked spiritually. Like, he has no interest in growing spiritually, and I've got a lot of work to do spiritually. And so,
right, for
that reason, our paths, you know, are no longer the same. And so I don't,
right, you
know, I don't want to stay on the path with him. But
you're on divergent paths right now. And again,
yeah, you
know, if you allow me to just share that, I did come to that realization three different times with three different men that claimed that I was the twin. So aside from having the relationship with the husbands that I had that were so beautifully placed and gave me everything I needed in the moment, in the negative and the positive, to wake me up, you know. So,
yeah, you
know, the evolution of that, and that's what the show kind of is about, is to understand that it really isn't about the finality of love. And, you know, a lot
right, of
people that are married, they know, oh, well, it's my soulmate, I'm married, you know. But they stay at that static reality, and they really don't look to open up their minds and hearts beyond that. And that's because they're in maybe a different vibratory rate, if that's what we want to call it, or a different mindset, or a different parallel reality, when they're really not open to the complete experience of opening up completely to love. And so
definitely,
I see that a lot in my world. And I see that you're in the mindset, because a part of you knows that there's something more here. And it's not
yeah, about
a body. It's about you opening up to the love that you feel and felt with this man when you first came together, you know?
Definitely.
So now what's happening?
And a lot of people are programmed to think that it's got to be forever, because that's what they put on you. And it can be. I'm not saying that it can't. But when you realize that it's not, there's reasons that it's not. And not everyone is supposed to be together forever. There are lessons and karma that you're supposed to heal. And if your path to split, you know, that's normal too. But a lot of people, because we're kind of pushed into that, oh, be together forever, you know, scenario, that's what we buy into. But that's not always, you know, the gist of what it really is.
And you know, that's very beautiful. But thank you for sharing that. But the fact of the matter is, and that's for me, you know, because everybody always gives the whole list of soulmates, or this is a soulmate, this is a karmic relationship, this is a twin flame. The reality for me was that that was done. You know, every time I was in a relationship, I got this heads up, and I don't want to be callous, I don't want to seem like I'm cold, but when it was done, it was done.
Yes.
This one is never done. It doesn't matter what he does, what I do, what he says, it never ends, because it's so eternally in me, in love. And so that's the difference. That's, for me, the demarcation point or line where I could say, you know what, I could see and feel the difference. Because it doesn't matter where he is, he's with me. Never happened in any other relationship before. And it is an unconditional love, which I have not been able to bring forth before. So even if the other body doesn't appear in this parallel state, you know, in this state of reality, it's still always with me. And that's what's so profoundly beautiful about my personal experience with what I call the twin flame. So, Michelle, I really believe that there's a part of you that is so open to going more in depth in your heart within you, you know? And that is really the key, because the more you become connected to your heart and the receptivity of loving, the more you're going to see the true state of your being called the male perfected self, or some call the female, or some call whatever. In my book, I call it a painting. It could be a, you know, a profession that's just put, is just absolutely perfected. But now that I've experienced, it feels like it's going to be the opposite sex, at least for me. You know, that's what I came to realize. And I don't, you know, I'm not complaining at all, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So, anyhow, is there anything else you want to share? Is there any questions?
No, that's about it so far.
All right, so I just want you, if you will, because I really feel like when you said, when you shared about you and him coming together, or initially, I think I got to take the phone or speaker. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah, when you talked about coming together, it felt so real. I felt like you tapped into the true essence of your heart, you know. I really feel that it's almost like you were getting like a knowing, and it wasn't about the body call, the male you were with, but it was that initial remembrance of the true state of love that we all call the twin soul. Do you want to elaborate on that for yourself a little bit more to make it actualize for yourself?
I just remember just that love, you know. I knew, because we went to school together as kids, so I had always liked him since we were young. And once we came back together, you know, we were pretty much grown. And, you know, I still love him even now. It's not that I don't love him, but I know that our journeys are, you know, on different paths. I just know that they're no longer on the same path. But the love is always going to be there, you know. It's just different now. Whereas I was deeply in love and, you know, he had my whole heart. Now I definitely have love for him, but I know that if he has no interest in, you know, spiritual growth, that he can't be the one for me any longer. Because I literally, I know spiritually that I have just, you know, started. Like, I have a lot of work to do. And I plan to do it. And whoever's going to be beside me needs to either be more advanced than I am, or at least bear with me, you know, looking to expand.
Well, I tell you, there is a lot of what you're sharing is what I had experienced. And as you say, you know, you don't stop loving that aspect of you that was perfectly placed by you in that moment to teach you what you needed to learn and to push you to the next level almost, or to, you know, help you rise to the next rung on the ladder. Because really everything in our world is really a teacher, at least for me. It teaches me where I am in the moment. It shows me. And if I get the message, I do progress. I do go on to the next level. I do go on to the next relationship with myself. And then it comes outward. It, you know, it's projected outward to the next experience. So anyway, I wish you so much love and so much peace on your path, because I know that it's not an easy path once you become conscious, you know. So again, I thank you so much, and I hope you'll stay with us. And for some reason, the chat room is not coming. And I'm sorry if the chat room is not, I'm trying to get on, it's not working. So, you know, bear with me, and whoever's on the chat room, kind of communicate with each other, send hearts and love to each other. Again, I thank you so much, Angel. I'm going to put you back on hold and open up the next line.
Okay.
Thank you, sweetie. Bye-bye, love. Okay, and the next line is area code 267. I'm going to open the line. Hello, who's calling?
I think it was me who was unmuted, but that's not my area code.
Okay, that's okay. Well, it's coming up, it is. So who's calling?
It's Sabrina. How are you?
Hello, Angel. How are you?
I have a lot of perception. I believe it was Michelle that spoke before me, and, you know, she made some very valid points about the twin flame reunion, the energy reunion that I've encountered. I believe she may have encountered it. Sounds pretty similar. And I'm just thinking about, like, the course of my life, and I want to break it down within, like, 5 minutes, if I may.
When I was a child,
prior to sexual or knowing my sexual orientation or crushes on boys, I was complete. I felt complete. I knew who I was. I was in my state. I was in my present. I didn't fret about the future or worries, and I felt like I was probably my most complete self at the age of 4 and 5. And after years of bad memories and, you know, not giving up, trying, holding on to faith and hope and being good to others and spending those holidays alone. And I became very bitter, very closed up to the world, not trusting of anything, and really at that point not living my life. So I did meet my twin, my mirror self, in a man who at one point must have made a soul contract to come and sort of rescue me out of this slumber I was in. And as of late in the separation, I realized that God is working through a lot of people I'm encountering, saying certain trigger things to keep me on board. And I don't know if you mind if I share the meditation I shared with you previously.
I would love to.
I don't know if you're okay with that.
I'd love you to. Whatever you feel free to share.
I had been practicing meditation, and for the first 3 or 4 weeks, because I had a lot of nervous energy, I couldn't sleep at night, I couldn't eat, I lost immediate weight, I lost almost 40 pounds. I was overweight, so I'm at better weight now, but, you know, it was a shock to the system. And I think a lot of us often think of prayer and meditation as mundane and something. It's like, yeah, I could do that. And I don't think I really put enough stock into it. Well, this time I meant business, and I did it every night for 3 weeks. And the funniest thing was to me that my mind opened, but my heart could not. And it was through my mind that I went downward to almost feel my heart. My heart chakra felt like a void. It was just not awakened at all. And it took a while to get to that place where I woke up from meditation vibrating. I mean, beautiful. And this one particular meditation, missing my twin, I went like in like a twin reunion meditation state, and I was with my twin for most of the time. We weren't touching. We were just enjoying the landscape. It was beautiful. There was lavender, lilac, overlooks, waterfalls, eagles. He turned out to be my guide because later on he left me, and I was in the presence of Jesus. And he spoke to me, and we didn't touch, and it didn't need to be. But I realized that God is my twin. So, yes, this man shared this with me at this point in my life. And he was there when I needed him to be. And he may be there again and again and again, as soulmates often do. But there are more than one. And that twin flame, like you had brought up, Ananda, about it being an energy, it does go from person to person. So when you're lacking and you keep faith, you will find it in other places. Very weird thing. One of my trigger points that gives me comfort is it will be okay or we will be okay. I have no idea why friends I've had for years would just randomly send me a Facebook message, it'll be okay. I know that sounds very vague, but it's just very specific that one phrase has followed me, and I'm able to take in my deep breath, breathe out, get rid of that nervous energy, and proceed with life, you know, not
that's
be so
beautiful
afraid.
Very personal, too. I thank you for sharing that. For me, as I say, because of my life experience and because I've been conscious for a very long time, I know that the only truth is God. God is the only state of true love. I mean, that is it, and that's the infinite field of potential.
but I believe that in the physical reality that we do outpicture a self that that is perfected.
Well, that's what it felt like. It felt like God's love as an arrow that shot through both of our hearts. That's exactly what it felt like, you know, and the ego will pertain it to a specific individual, but, you know, overall, we are all just human here, and this was ethereal. There's no other word for it. I like to see it in others and not just the one, because, God, I mean, how many people live in this planet, you know, and we all are God, every single one of us.
And again, what I've come to realize today, again, which is absolutely beautiful, and, you know, I've been sharing this with you a lot, especially, that the ego is a child, and that without an ego, we would not be a self in this reality. So for me to come to understand that every part of us is a part of God, we're all, you know, fragments of God, realized or not, but we're all individual personas. That makes us so beautiful. It's like being one with the God energy out pictured. On this phone, I think it's really funny. I'm sorry. I don't know how to do this. Anyway, he's probably going to call back. But so for me to become fully actualized God I am is to see that out pictured. Now, for me, the only relationship to have really is with God, like you say. But when I see it perfected and know it, I see it in one man. Now, that happens to be my trip. That happens to be my personal relationship with God. It comes out as an out picture. But you have a specific, and once you got that, once you lock with that, once you bond with that, everything reflects it. But it takes that one interlocking force of male-female in me, because that's what my book's about, and that's what I came to realize in my personal heaven that I call, you know, Ananda's life, that it is about reuniting with the aspect that best represents me as the male, you know? And I have, and it is absolutely the only truth that I've ever come to know in this conscious reality. Now, how long will that mindset last? Maybe for eternity, maybe I'll choose again, it'll come through something else. But it doesn't seem likely, because I don't even have to think of this aspect of me. It's there, you know, and when I'm in that, everyone around me is smiling. Everyone around me is beaming in delight. And that, to me, is the remembrance of being one with God. And so he incarnates as the male and embraces me to show me, like you say, it's all going to be good. It's all right. You know, and when I go back to that state, I'm reunited. That's the sacred union. That's the remembrance and the reuniting with the part of me
Separation states, in those times when we may feel plagued with loneliness and pain, you know, because, like, I understand what you mean by that one specific where you find your comfort, the vision that you have. But other people do. I can't explain what I mean. Like, the life worth of other people show, I mean, it gets me through, if that makes sense to you.
And everybody is showing you what you feel about yourself. Everyone is showing me what I feel about myself. And when I'm complete, everyone's smiling. When I'm not complete, there is discordant energy around me, because I am seeing my own vista. That's my formation of energy outpictured at me. You know, showing me what I feel about myself. And it's not about he's good, she's bad, that one's got a good, you know, when you say that people are telling you that, that's only you telling you that, because synchronicity is your mind being revealed to you. So you're seeing you okay. That's beautiful. That's showing you exactly where you are. And we can call it my friend sent it to me, my neighbor, oh, the billboard said it, but in truth, it's only you being in present moment and being okay. So, I mean, I honor what you share. It's absolutely beautiful. It's your perception in this reality, and it feels right for you, so it is right for you, you know. It just, for me, I'm trying to write this last chapter, and it almost seems to me like maybe there won't be a last chapter, which I really feel is pretty cool, you know. It may not be. But anyway, I want to thank you, baby, for sharing. And don't, you know, don't go yet. We're going to come
thank
back
you.
On and back. There's just so many calls, so I don't want to keep anybody waiting too long.
Of course.
All right, honey, hold on. I'll be back with you, hon. Love you. Okay, and the next caller, I guess that was the 267. Let's open that again and see if it's another person. Hello, who's calling? Hello, did you want to talk? Okay, that's not, that person had their hand up, but I don't think they want to talk. All right, and then we have, let me see, there's another caller here. 347 is the area code.
It's me again, Amanda. That's
hold
my
on,
number, 347.
Thank you. Hold on. Hello, who's calling?
Oh, hi. I was just listening for right now, if that was okay.
All right, that's okay, sweetie. Enjoy the show. Thank you for being with us. And Lydia was here, but she's not. I hope she comes back on. Alrighty, so I'm going to go on with a little bit more about what is being said here as far as Pluto's, Pluto. Let me just see who, I hope I have that still open. Okay, I may have to open it again. All right, so for me, like I said, the concept that came through, which was so much so beautiful for me, was finally to accept the fact that it's okay for it to be a male. It's okay for God to incarnate as what I always dreamed that it would be in my perceptual world when I was a little girl. I always believed that the prince would come, and I always believed that he would best represent the male that I, you know, wanted to be with. The Sleeping Beauty concept is my trip my whole life, you know. I really do love being the female. And as I wake up into my own pureness of the divine goddess I am, we all are as a female, I see glimpses of that part of me come to be, you know. And that was each relationship that I had growing up into spirituality, into a conscious state of remembrance that I am one with God. And through that process, I was able to let go of a lot of the blocks that were keeping me from accepting the love that I was in truth. You know, we all are loved. We all are loved. And this human experience is all about not really knowing that the love is within, which basically Sabrina is sharing, you know, that she's coming to realize God in a very beautiful state of remembrance. And, you know, we've all on a spiritual path been there, are going there on some level. We will awaken to the fact that God is the way, or love is the way, or the infinite field of potential is ours to explore. But for me, I've been there. I've gone through that route and in consciousness. And I came to realize that it really is for me about an outpicturing of the same, that I am okay about accepting that a male can be one with me. And that wasn't an easy trip for me, because I really don't think I was really feeling worthy of that. You know, I really believed that it was about me transcending the world and going into a state of remembrance, God only. And it was a very lonely path, because I really believed that I had to become almost, you know, not at all interested in another body, that I had to really give up the world. And, you know, we're taught by a lot of the spiritual teachers, you know, Wayne Dyer, who I absolutely adore, and Deepak's another one that I really always felt was, you know, a brethren to me in their understanding and their sharing. And, you know, they would always say that, you know, that it was about being in the human experience, not being of it, but being, you know, in it, but not of it, you know, and that we were here to really fully actualize being a body. And in that experience, we could really do and have anything. You know, I always say on the show that the only relationship we're really ever having is with the self. And that's the stage that Sabrina's at, and a lot of people in the perceptual reality in my periphery are at. You know, they're finding God. They're finding the peace within. And I've been there, and I've shared a lot of years in that experience in time. And now I feel I'm really ready to make known the sacred marriage, to make it be part of my experience, because I believe truly that Mary is who we are, if we go into the Christianity of mind, that the Mary, the Virgin, birth is really about us becoming purely one with our feminine essence, the receptivity, and allowing the male to impregnate us with the perfect gift called the Christ or the God I am. You know, and so I come together with the male principle in the physical now and say we can use Change Our World to glorify our world, to actually live heaven while here on earth. So Plato says that, and I share this in my book too because I really love the fact that Plato and, you know, Aristotle and a lot of the, you know, the brilliant philosophers of all time talk about this beautiful twin flame concept. And in his dialogue, the Symposium, Plato has Aristophanes present the story about soulmates. And he states that humans originally had four arms, four legs, and a single head made of two faces. He continues that there were three genders, man, woman, and the androgynous, each with two sets of genitalia, with the androgynous having both male and female genitalia. The men were children of the sun, the women were children of the earth, and the androgynous were children of the moon, which was born of the sun and earth. It is said that the humans had great strength at the time and threatened to conquer the gods. The gods were then faced with the prospect of destroying the humans with lightning, as they had done with the Titans, but then they would lose the tributes given to the gods of humans. Zeus developed a creative solution by splitting humans in half as punishment for humanity's pride and doubling the number of humans who would give tribute to the gods. These split humans were in utter misery to the point where they would not eat and would perish, so Apollo had sewn them up and reconstituted their bodies, with the navel being the only remnant hearkening back to their original form. Each human would then only have one set of genitalia and would forever long for his other half, the other half of his soul. It is said that when the two find each other, there is an unspoken understanding of one another, that they feel unified and would lay with each other in unity and would know joy than that. And for me, that, you know, brings much joy to my being, because I really feel that that has occurred in my reality. So much so that there's a constant knowing like nothing that I've ever experienced before. It is an absolute understanding that there is only one. And it becomes so undefinable and so unrecognizable that sometimes I actually feel as I am him. I feel that as I'm speaking, I see his features. And, you know, it sounds bizarre, I mean, even to me from the logical mindset, but it's really so apparent to me that I have met the one. There's a caller, 267, and again, I'm going to open this again because your hand's up, and I don't know if you want to speak, but please feel free. Hello? Hello, did you want to speak? Did you want to share a love? Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold. So that's what, you know, that's what I really came to understand at this point. And for me, as I say, it really isn't about the perceptual other coming to me. The perceptual other is with me, and I see it, and I feel it, and I know it, and I was blessed to have it, seeing it as though it was separate of my reality, and to actually have the experience of dancing with an aspect of myself that is so me. And I can't deny it, because every aspect of him shows me where I've been, where I am, and where I will be, because there is no unfamiliarity about it. There is no question about it. There is no question that when I am feeling and thinking and knowing him, that he is, in fact, doing the same with me, because he is living within my being. This is the true state of remembrance, that there is one unification of forces in the mind of man called the twin soul or the twin flame. I'm going to open it up to you again, Sabrina, because I really feel like I don't want to leave you in the state of where you are without communicating what you are and what you're feeling, Angel.
No, I'm okay, Ananda, actually. I mean, it's a rocky road. I'm feeling everything you're saying about the one, but it does seem, how do I say this? When we're not with that other one, we have to live fully. That's what God wants for us, you know? to find peace in the pain. That's why songwriting is so important to me. You know, Jordy was big on telling me, you know, create, 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 to the point that he tried to make a left-handed person with no coordination try to draw. And then it occurred to me, I don't even know why it didn't occur to me sooner, but I hadn't picked up paper in 10 to 15 years. I mean, who was counting? I was asleep. And that's all I used to do when I was in constant joy and peace and had no idea what a twin flame was. I wasn't concerned with marriage or the picket fence and, you know, this all happened later on in life.
So the reality is, again, for me, really, you know, the body, as you say, you always talk about the ego really is so used to having another body, another perceptual body as an ego, that it calls in memory, for me anyway, that, you know, without that body, how are you going to make it? Without that body, you can't feel loved. You know, without that body, and, you know, for me, I could easily get caught, and I do get caught in that web, and I sob, and I wonder, and it's not really the truth of my being, because what I share tonight really is what I experience most of the time. When I stay conscious and know that I'm only here to extend that love that I've come to remember in this union with everyone, you know, not just with some. I mean, that's firstly with my body. My body is the first recipient of this love. Every cell in my body, when I remember that, when I go there to remember the essence of us as the unit, my cells dance. My cells become alive again. They breathe again. They're healthy again. You know, you talk a lot, you know, about the feeling of this diabetes or the diabetic concept. And, you know, that really is not real for you. You know, it really is just a mindset that the ego is placing in the way. And that's not really congruent with who you really are, you know. And we have that. We have these little tests or these little lessons or these little, you know, gifts, if we see them as such, that are really there to show us that we're not on track, you know. If
right.
I'm not in peace, I'm not on track. You know?
Right. Well, that's the other thing you had mentioned, that, you know, you had called it a blessing, and it is. And how many people in their lifetime right now won't experience that sort of connection where they have absolute blind faith to something that may or may not exist, because we are brainwashed and conditioned over on here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I go back to when I was so young and innocent, you know, the things I knew and I saw, and I really, for some reason, they used to call me old soul. I was born with this wisdom. I lost it. You know, like,
and
I lost that wisdom over the years.
And that's really
regret.
That's the concept of Sleeping Beauty, you know. That's this human condition. I read something today that was really awesome. There was an article about reincarnation. And it was about little kids remembering, like, you know, having, I'm so glad you're my mommy now, because when you were my mommy before, you were mean and you killed me, you know, or things like that. And my little boy, my John, when he was a baby, I remember him saying to my mother, Ma, Nanny, remember when we lived there? You know, it was a place that we were passing on the road. Remember when I was a big boy and I lived there with you? And she'd say, oh, my God, that's reincarnation. But I heard a lot of these stories today. And when we come in, we are clear as a bell, because we're leaving another reality. We're coming into this one completely full of remembrance. You know, some of us are complete. We're in the void for a while. We come in as complete, you know, gurus. Some of us are little yogis, some, you know, mystics, and others just came back from another, you know, brutal reality, and we're coming in and sharing that as too. But we have that innocence always in the core of our being, you know?
Right.
And so you had that. I have a lot of friends, you know, girls that I talk to over the years that tell me about coming in with the full knowledge, coming in knowing that they could transport and, you know, teleport and read minds and whatever. And me being a child, and playing it, just moving my moving form all over the room and, you know, bringing it to me, summoning it with my mind. They're coming to me, or listening to people as if they were speaking out loud, and it was only in their head. I was hearing the verbiage in their mind was coming alive through me. You know, I knew what everybody was thinking or feeling. So that's the natural state. When you meet your twin, it comes back again. That innocence that I talked about when I was with this part of me, that I'm a young girl, I'm a kid playing, you know, there's no time. Like the other woman shared, you know, that first remembrance of her twin, I don't believe that's her twin, I believe that that is her soulmate, coming together as almost like a tweak, a remembrance, a reminder, this is what it felt like, don't lose this. There's no time, you know, there is no time. And I'm sure you have. Talk about your twin. What was your experience when you first came to realize this was who he was?
Well, this is what makes me laugh. We don't talk that often. I'm on the phone with you, talking to you about him, and he texts me. So he just texts me. If you can make heads or tails of that, that'd be the best. That's, you know, things like that. So you really know you're not.
Now, why did that happen? I mean, why do you think that happened?
Maybe because I'm finally at peace and he's got to come and shake things up. Like, sometimes I feel like that's what, like they say, the mirror self. So he may not be exactly me, but he compliments me and he does things to me that may feel painful, but they're really actually nudging me towards the direction I wasn't on. I really feel like when you're not on the path beyond, this might be a perfect scenario for you to meet your twin. It's not. It's not a straight road. It's never a straight road. I see it like a bell curve almost, or a roller coaster.
Right.
It's a very weird thing, but I do believe in that. Like a promise.
You should tell him to come on the show.
You
should tell him to come on the show. Send him the link. Do you know that the whole concept that we're sharing tonight really is not about the other body, it's about you. So he didn't come into being because it's just a coincidence. He came into being because we're focusing on twin souls right now. We're focusing on reuniting
right.
with twin
he,
souls
he
right now. So it can't
he
be separate.
It.
If he's there with you, he's there with you. He always is, but he's making himself known. Right. He's saying, "No, I'm here. I didn't go anywhere." So just because you don't see him in the physical body doesn't mean I'm gone. And, you know,
right.
this is, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear this. A lot of people think, oh, this is New Age garbage, which, you know, that's what I read in Wikipedia. But the reality is I'm talking from my own experience, and it's very personal, but I have never, and I've been in love with three men that I married. I thought it was love. And what it was a lesson. It was a schoolroom. I went to that experience to get what I needed to get to meet the man that I know is the twin. And he is, like I said to you earlier, for you, it's a Roto-Rooter. I mean, this, all of the debris, not some of it, it wants a clean vessel in itself and you, so you're doing to him what he's doing to you, because we know that we've got to merge in this incarnation, in this parallel space-time, in order to be eternally
right,
loved.
But isn't that a beautiful thing that almost, like, it's almost silly for us to ever feel lonely, because you're right, they are always there. They've always been there. That's the thing. That's what the physical recognition is. You're like, oh, wow, you're the man in my dreams that I've known forever. And, you know, but the physical world, it does, like, this is what I mean about conditioning. Where does our faith lie if we feel lonely knowing that time doesn't exist? And
because
external life is
that.
What's important. You know, like, I think it's the ego trip, and I know it's there to set you up
it
to
is
defend
the ego
you.
Trip, but the ego is mandatory in order to meet the twin. The ego, there's a frequency, the song that you both are singing. And that you can't identify, you know, it's almost like we're all songs of God. You know, each one of us is an essence of God. And when you meet the other, you're singing the same song. So we have to be a persona. We have to be an ego. The ego was taught a pack of lies. The persona that we are was taught that, you know what, you got to have another body to be whole. You know, you've got to achieve something to be anything. And a whole load of, you know, garbage about what we have to do to be to have. And the truth of that is all I have to do is be loved. Loved. It's more than love. Be loved. By who? By God. As I say,
right.
God is the true sense of male principle that impregnates upon us the true essence of its being, love, but it also made us into an individual state of body, of humanity, you know? And we're not here to do it as just the one. We're here to do it as the unit within, the male-female principle coming together, embracing, and then praising God, looking straight up and knowing only God. You know, Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden to reach for the fruit, not to avoid it, not to deny it. They had to fully actualize the human experience and share it with all of their children, you know, in their universe. And so I get visions of that all the time, the male and female living coming together. And will the body called Ananda leave when I finally get it? Maybe it will, and maybe the two of us will be in the you know, upper echelon of mind, you know, experiencing the song, or maybe we will be walking in the body with you know, the sheep who are all mating to reach the same level of love that we've reached. I don't know, but I do know that I have it. And I don't want to deny it any longer. You know, I don't want to make excuses for it anymore. You know, that I have to, it's not here. Well, you know what, I better not. I know it's the only truth I've ever known. It's the only truth that I have ever come to actualize in all my spiritual seeking, you know? And I really feel that you're there too. And the God component is a given for me. I want God realization because when I have it completely, he's there. And it's not about, like, you know, seeking. It's already there. And you know it's already there. You know that God is I am. You're with it. It's already there. So what did it feel like when you first looked into his eyes?
The time-stopping thing, we were in a noisy bar, all the noise dissipated. I flashed back to previous life with him. And I can't explain this shock to the chest. It's not anxiety, but it's sort of feel like it's like the opposite of anxiety. Shock to the chest that I felt that. And I actually remembered, I cupped my hand and said, oh my God, it's him. That's what I said, and I turned my face and I covered it, like, and I normally, like, I don't shy away from people's eyes, and
yeah.
He came up to me and said hello again, and I think that was the first time I ran away, like, I ran out of the bar, like, I had, you know, the hairs was thin. He said hello again, and I just ran away.
Because it's like you're naked, right? You feel like you're naked?
Yeah, well, yeah. I felt like the floor fell out from underneath me and something was engulfing me or I was flying. It's like the same feeling.
Right.
You know, and there was a lot of confusion and people say God doesn't work in confusion, but I was confused. My ego was confused.
Right.
Right from what's right, what's wrong, what should be, what shouldn't be. How could this
right.
be possible? Miracles, like it was a miracle. You know,
and you say that
was,
he really was in your town for a long time. This wasn't like a new guy in town or anything, right?
I babysat
right?
his niece last year. He was he was at his sister's. I don't even want to get into it. Yeah, cousins and sisters, and yeah, we've known each other. We've known each other's families for our whole lives, but we never physically met. So I've been in his house. He's been to my cousin's house, you know, when he was 12. One of those things. So we were close by, but we never, ever met. I think I met his whole family. Well, not his whole family, but...
And so what happened when you really did come together? When it really did match, when you really knew that it was something...
No, it was instant realization. It was instant.
And that's it?
I'm trying to think about. No, it was just we had a long. There was a bad night. I call it the bad night. And we hadn't spoke for 2 or 3 months, and. Then I had a crisis where 911 had to be called, and I was in the hospital, and I just randomly bumped into him. Things like that, you know, like over the course where you just, after a while, just you don't know where they fit in your life, but you know they're just going to be around. It's just,
right.
You know, you didn't know there was anything missing or anything, but now you realize that you just have to accept that this person is going to be in your life, because that's just, you know, and that's what I mean, like, they'll be there when you need them to be there, and when they're not there, there's always other people showing you God in other ways, you know?
Right,
Managing,
but again, that's
like
only you mirroring
like
for
my,
you what you
like
really
my,
feel
my
about
girlfriend,
yourself.
My girlfriend came, called me and said, you know, I just have to let you know everything's going to be all right.
Right.
I'm like, okay, thank you, you know, and then, but I get instant comfort in it, so.
There's an in stream of, you know, of love when you are connected to Source, to the love I am, you know, in you. And you can't not stay. I mean, yesterday was a really rough day for me. A lot of personal confrontations with aspects of me that I know are, you know, really trying to show me I still have stuff. And at the end of the day, I get an email and I get which I think I shared on my site, 2 tickets to Josh Groban, which to me is it's like he's the Holy Spirit of my relationship, because he's always been the one that we've communicated with for our songs. I mean, the real truth of our being to each other. And I'm going to go see Josh Groban. I got 2 tickets, and of course I'm going to go alone, because I really feel that it's a miracle, and it's just a moment for me to reflect and to share the love I am with him in that arena. And even though the seat might be empty, it's never empty, because he's always there. And so for me, it's like when I stay present and I allow myself to just not resist and not fight and not conflict with the minds of those around me, that it's just there as aspects of me showing me how I feel, and maybe, you know, even encouraging me to let everything go that doesn't serve me, you know. And we want to keep our you know, weaknesses, we want to keep our ego learning and teaching intact, so we don't have to really change. But for me, I've seen nothing for change, especially the last year. I've seen nothing but change in my life. And really, I feel like the pure wineskins, the clean wineskins I talk about all the time, are mandatory. I need to become just like Mary in order to have the full bounty of and the grace of God, you know. So that's what I work on. You know, I spend literally hours upon hours in my sanctuary, which I, you know, I call my little bedroom my sanctuary, to reignite in me the truth of my being, which is to allow God to bestow upon me the gifts of the kingdom. And that's what we're all here to do, really, is to awaken the God I am, because that part of us is really the giver of all, that wants us to have everything, including that perfect self that just mirrors us in our entirety, you know. And they bring up a lot of stuff. I just picked this up on one of the websites, and they always talk about partner of This woman says, since many soulmate connections are quite compelling, familiar, and strong, how do you know whether you really found your partner of ultimate destiny, which I think is gorgeous, or your twin flame? And then she says, you have dreams and visions of that person and your energetic relationship before ever meeting in this lifetime. And I got to tell you, this is so profound, because I remember being a child and knowing what I know now, that I've experienced it. I had it back then that this energy would be in my life, that this aspect of me, I feel it like it's part of my heart. Like, I can't even distinguish it now from being me. So, I mean, you know it, and it may not be the physical appearance, but in your case, I mean, you guys look exactly alike. It's like weird. But for me, I know that I knew that face. That was my dream face since I'm a little girl. The hair, everything was exactly what I saw. But the essence is something so different, and that's what she's saying. And meeting a partner felt like coming home to a familiar, long-lasting energy. After meeting you, had memories of other times and places with that person, which you said you had, that are not part of this life experience so far. Your partner mirrors your own issues, concerns, and imbalances, but you also complement each other's skill, sets, your talents, your capacities. You're the ultimate embodiment of yin-yang. This guy, the part of me, he's an author. I mean, he's a writer. He writes the same. You can't even, if we write poetry, you can't distinguish who wrote it. And then it says at least one partner is of higher frequency, possibly a first waver, they call it, or an indigo or crystal or genetically related to one. So, you know, again, that's all New Age terminology, if you want to use it or not. But there really is, I mean, my focus is ruthless when it comes to truth. I mean, I will give up this world if it meant to give up my true knowing that I've come to realize. Then it says you may be of different ages, the same or opposite sex, vastly different backgrounds, opposing religions or cultures, but you feel an incredible unity or incomparable sense of oneness with your partner. You feel each other's symptoms, illnesses, and emotions even when you're not near each other or in communication. And so the other day I was sitting in Starbucks, a different one, which I hadn't done for a long time, and I wanted to change my energy, you know, my environment, myself, and then my out-pictured world. And this person walked in. I didn't see the person, but I felt it, and it was him. And I got a real dead punch in my stomach, and I knew that there was some kind of suffering in his world. Because there can't not be, because I know him so well that I can tell when he's in joy and I can tell when he's in pain. Your functioning is impaired or much less optimal when you are apart from your twin flame. It physically and mentally hurts you when you're not together. And I think we both can agree that that happens a lot of the times, and it takes a lot on our part to recenter ourselves, to come back into conscious moment and realign so we're the stronger of the two in the moment.
And that's,
you know,
when, and that's when people will help you with that frequency. I don't really get
that's
that
like,
frequency
right.
until I dig myself out of that poor
right.
state of
and
being.
Right, and it's like angels, right? It's
being.
Like angels up here.
It is like angels up here. It's exactly like that. You know?
I know we can call it a phone or whatever, but you know, we know it's an angel. And I'm sorry, honey.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
Just
trying to,
just
I cannot find my words.
That's all right, honey,
you know?
Because we're really feeling this experience tonight. It is very important for me to experience. I've got to finish this book. I can't keep procrastinating. I'm not waiting for another self to show up. I'm not waiting for a twin soul to manifest. I'm not waiting for him to manifest. All I want is to continue being the love I am and sharing with my world. And that book is a beautiful book, and it should be shared with every aspect of me because it's just beautiful. It's part of who I am. So I wanted to feel these feelings of being connected to such a beautiful remembrance, because we're all, and I don't believe that anyone isn't open to, I mean, going to be with a twin self, because we're all one, and we might be at different stages of development in this parallel reality that you and I are in right now, but in fact, another parallel, people are already together. We're already together with those aspects of ourselves and sharing the beautiful experience with everybody that's around us. We're all dancing in celebration, but I felt I had to give this gift to myself tonight. So, I mean, I really, really honor you for being here with me tonight, and I hope and I pray that you're feeling what I'm feeling tonight, because there's such a security tonight that I'm feeling, and such a confidence in knowing that we've been so blessed to hear the call and answer it. So this is beautiful. And it says
we definitely are. We definitely love unconditionally.
Right.
The only forgiveness that we really need to seek is from ourselves, so that every day, I think I share this with you, that every morning now when I wake up, my prayer is, God, make me your servant. Every morning I say those words. And, you know, it does follow me through my days. So even in, per se, bad days, you know, that's just a life lesson, an experience. It could be something that's saving you from a worse outcome. You know, but I got to say, I really did fall apart, and I didn't even notice it. And, I mean, I was living with demons every day. They were called hatred and anger and jealousy and worry and anxiety. I mean, those were my demons. They really were. And being in a state of love, you do share that, and it does rub off on people, and people do sense that when they're near you. And, you know, I mean, well, there's so many people in this world that we have differences of opinions, lifestyles, you know, whatever sexual preferences we have and choices. And none of us are wrong. None of us are wrong. We're all perfect in all of our imperfections.
And that's the ego that I talk about. That's the ego that is perfected because it's here to be personification of God. And whether that be a God of, you know, a talent, a God of grief, it doesn't matter. We're here to be personas. We're here to be individualized states of God. So to deny our ego is to deny our very existence. And that's why I've always shared that an ego is just a child that's misdirected. Let's direct it back to love. And the only way to do that is to stay present with God in the consciousness I am in the moment, you know. We do have other calls, baby, so let me open. I'm going to keep you on, but
okay.
I want to open this
line.
Okay,
I'm listening.
All right. Hello, this is area code 206. Did you want to call, speak, honey?
I have some questions.
All righty.
Okay, I just joined the conversation, so I'm not sure exactly. What's that? I'm sorry.
The conversation, we're basically talking about twin souls tonight. Do you feel like you've had that experience?
Well, I met somebody that I, probably about a month ago, that I've been dating for about a month. And I felt a connection with this person that I haven't felt with anybody else before. And it feels kind of, to me it would be, I guess it might be like a twin soul or, you know, twin flame.
Yes.
But it's been
how
very
is it distinguishable? Oh, well, that's the ego that wants it its way. You know, the ego wants it that way because we were taught that we have to have that body. We have to covet it, you know. I think that's what we all suffer with. So that's what we're kind of sharing here a little bit tonight. So is that what your frustration is?
Well, the frustration is when me and this person are together, we have a great connection, but when we're apart, trying to communicate with him is very tough. He doesn't like to talk on the phone, and he just doesn't like to communicate. Part of it, I think, is he's always exhausted just from his work.
Okay, but let me stop you right there because the reality is when it's really a twin soul conscious connection, when you know you're with that person, there is no insecurities, you know, and if there is, it's only because there's the ego that's getting in the way, and I have that a lot in my situation, and the reality is that when you are sure, as I am sure, that you are sending that aspect of you free in every moment because you know that you cannot lose connection with that part of you. Because that part of you is the only truth that ever was. And you feel great about him being in your life no matter where he is because you know that he loves you as you love him because you are one, you know. And when you start getting insecure, you're going to see and hear that aspect of him come alive, the one that's, you know, betraying or the one that's maybe not who you want him to be. So as I always say here, the relationship to have initially is with yourself. The more that you relate to love with you and care for you and know that you're worthy of being with this aspect of you that is the best aspect for you, you really work on you, work on loving you. Like what Sabrina's sharing, you know, she's working on being one with what she calls God, what I would call love or the infinite field. And you work on that and set him free in every moment because the fact of the matter is until you're secure with love within you, no one you meet will be right for you. You know? If that makes any sense to you?
No, yeah, it makes sense. And it's just that I miss the energy that I feel when we're together.
Yes, and Sabrina, talk about that a little bit, baby, about missing that energy. From your perspective, you were to mine, honey. Are you still here, Sabrina? I think she's not here. All right. That missing is, again, you know, it's so divine when you reconnect to that within yourself. I mean, like I said, when I even just feel confident in us, in the unity of the marriage, the sacred marriage, every cell in my body's dancing. It's like I'm at the Zumba class, and I'm dancing, and I'm in ecstasy. Because he, I mean, I'm dancing for him. I feel like when I dance, he's watching me. When I dress in the morning, I'm dressing for him. And I'm not going to say him as if it's just, you know, the guy down the street. This is my true male,
you know, and I don't know what role you play, but that aspect of you, when you remember being with him, when you remember the moments that you share that's totally awesome, you know, you don't lose them because he's not in the room. So the idea is to remember it, to remember that flower, to smell that fragrance, to touch the softness of that petal, and to know that that can never leave you. All you need to do is go there. And when you go there, for that instant, you do remember what it was to kiss his lips. You do remember what it was to be touched and loved in the way that no one has ever touched you or loved you. And all you need to do is to go there and make it stay there in you. When it stays there in you, it cannot leave you, even in the physical. You see what I mean? But as long as we're insecure, we will play those games with ourselves. We'll push him away.
Right.
So there's only one person we have to love and fix, and that's us. And for me, I don't fix anymore. All I'm doing is sculpting. All I'm doing is refining the gold, the diamond that I am, and the diamond that you are. It's up to you to shine it, because as you shine it, you cannot be without love.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I would share with you.
I think I get
where
you're getting, and to me, it's almost like, it's like a, I don't know, like a gas tank where for some reason it's leaking out, and then I'm empty and I need more of it. But I see what you're saying, where if I can just, you know, almost like solar power, kind of keep it with me and focus on that.
Right, and you know what? The truth in that is I always share that if, you know, if I stay in my own energy, I'm the director of my play. You know, if we believe in the law of attraction, that what I feel and think becomes apparent to me in my reality, and I become the director, I then have option to move the players around. You know, and I plug into Source, and I become the power, because Source is God or the infinite field or love, you know, pure love. I connect, plug it in, and I become it. As soon as I see that as my idol and point to it, it becomes now my power source. And the more that I reach to that person, they become, I'm breathing life into them and what they're not doing and, you know, seeing the negative about that, and I become depleted. Now I'm not plugged into my source anymore. I'm plugged into that God, that false God called the body that I love. And the more that I do that, the less I have him.
Okay.
That makes sense? That makes sense?
Yeah,
so what
that
I
makes
have
a
to
lot
do,
of sense.
So when you getting a cure and feeling, I'm going to put this back on. Give me 1 second, honey. I got it on speaker and it's not working cool. When I go back to that remembrance that, you know what, he's with me all the time. I don't have to, miss him. If I miss him, what's going to happen? I'm taking away from the present moment where I know I love him, because if I love him, I'm feeling him. I must love him. And if I feel him and I love him and I'm missing him, now I'm saying he's not with me. So immediately there's a disconnect. The more I focus on that disconnect, he's not with me, he's not with, what's going to happen? He's not with me. I don't feel the feelings anymore. I'm all over to him when he's with me. So when I really know and become authentically in love, he can never stray, no matter what happens. I think that Sabrina's back. I'd like her to add to this if she...
Okay.
Sabrina, you here, honey?
I am. I just need to put my headphones in so you could hear me better.
All right. So this angel is talking about, you know, she was just talking about missing, and I'm saying that, you know, when you really stay in the state of love and you're plugged into God, you can't be without that love. And when I see that body as being separate or gone, what happens is I start missing it. I disconnect from God. I reconnect to this part of me that's missing. And what do I keep seeing and feeling? That he's not, love's not with me. It's missing.
Right.
And I'm in
that makes,
love
that makes perfect sense, because God is the embodiment of everything but doesn't actually have physical form. So, you know, you could easily miss God and literally miss God because, you're missing it, that energy frequency that I think you had mentioned before, like that feeling of going home, you know, and where that home would be.
Yeah,
especially since it probably doesn't have physical roots, right? So
But the infinite love is our true source of all being. And either we're going to direct it to us or we're going to misdirect it and put it on somebody else. I get lost in that because when I give it to him and he's my power source and I don't have him, what happens?
Right, you lose yourself in it.
He's my oxygen because I'm breathing life into the missing aspect of me rather than the God I am or the love I am connected to. So I take the plug out of God, I place it into him, and I'm empowering him by focusing on him being gone. And he's saying, why are you pushing me away? Why are you breathing life into me being away from you? Why don't you just come back home to me being here with you now and stay in that love energy? So wherever you go, you have an angel that says it's all good. He loves. I see this guy's name. Every email I open up, it's his name. It's not him. Or every place I go, I'll hear something that he says or a song, and I go, how could I ever believe for a second that I am not one with this aspect of me?
Right.
He's here with me now, and I'm pushing him away by thinking he's not here.
Through that also with different things, but yeah, I definitely get reminded every day, every single day. So yeah, you don't want the physical, but that is so temporary, you know, I mean, what are we going to do, like live in each other's pockets? I mean, it's, you know, it's more
but
about
we
a state
do.
Of being.
That's the truth, because there is no body. And there's only one essence of love. Love is I am. And God is I am. And if I disconnect from that, I'm lost in space, and it's not pleasant. It's never pleasant. So I want to reconnect, because when I reconnect to love, my cells feel like they're healthy. You know, my
right.
energy is like, I don't need to sleep. You know, I don't need an outside sustenance to make me feel whole. I don't need medication. I don't need that man's attention. I don't need that food. All I need to remember is that I am one with God. I am one with love. And that love incarnated as a body that I made love with, that made love with me. And in that moment, that remembrance heals everything, changes everything. And whatever your friends say, whatever the girl said, whatever the neighborhood said, whatever the family said, it's all either for your good or for your remembrance that you're an error. I'm an error. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. It's not about him being away from me. It's about me knowing I'm loved. Loved. I need to be loved. Not love. We're all love. That's a natural state. But to be loved by who? By me. And until I get it, I'll keep looking to the true source of love, which I call God.
Right. Not just accepting love, but knowing that not only that you are loved, but that you are lovable, that it's more than just accepting the love, it's knowing.
You've got to be loved.
I don't like to use the word deserve, but you deserve to be loved every day, every minute of every day, every, you know, no matter what circumstance.
And we were taught that we had to earn love, we had to work for love, we had to achieve to be loved, we had to make something, we had to do something. And when in truth that was all a distraction, because all of the world as we know it is just a means to an end. But the eternal world, the eternal life, the heaven I am in, when I remember that I am one with God, with love, with the most beautiful male that I could have even imagined to be with, I come back to heaven and it's eternal. Wherever I go, he is. It doesn't
right.
matter if I leave. He's there. Because I reconnected with the spirit of being loved. If I deny that, like maybe you are, my friend, when you're saying that, you know, he may not, he's, you know, when he's different when he's not with me, he's, you know, your friend's call, you know what, that's because you don't feel loved yet. When you feel loved, he can't leave you. He can't talk about you. He can't reject you because you're not rejecting him. I be treated the way I treat myself. I be loved the way I love myself. Very important call tonight. Whoever's here is blessed to be here. Because the truth of the matter is there's nothing more valuable than to be loved in the body by someone that you love. All the riches in the world cannot compare with being loved. And that's the only reason why we're here to remember that we're loved. Ultimately, yep, it is God. It is the true sense of the source of all being, which is the infinite, omnipresent concept called the One, who loves his children. Anybody want to share or ask any questions or share what they've come to realize?
And I guess the question that I keep asking myself is, you know, this person knows I like them. They seem to like me. And I've got all this love that I want to share, but I don't know if it's too much for them or what.
I hear.
Maybe I'm worrying about too much about them, not myself, I guess.
Right. Right, but I hear all the time, you're too intense. Oh, my God, this is too much, no matter who I'm with, because I am truly about love, about being loved. And so you got it. You can't, it's not about giving love away. It's about allowing yourself to be given the love, not from outside of you. You have a part of you that all it wants to do is give you everything. And we look outside for it, and we're lost because we're never going to get what we give completely in our ego mind. But in truth, if we receive all that wants to be given to us from in within, we walk as gods. We walk as really like kings and queens of our universe. And I watch that as I walk in with love. Everybody around wants to give me gifts. Hello. Oh, I love you. So good to see. Give me a hug. Because that's you telling me you are on track. So if your friends are calling and saying something's wrong, say, thanks a lot. I'm going into meditation, man. I got to come back to love. I'm not loving me if he's pointing at me like that. If he's accusing me, I'm not loving me. Thank you, my friend. You're an angel. I'm going back to my bedroom. I'm going to go back into meditation until I feel great. And if it doesn't happen for a day or 2 days, that's okay. I'm coming back to love. You know, it's not about doing. It's about being. You know, don't you notice that people that are really into themselves, really in the egoic sense, always have like an entourage wanting to give them stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Good or bad, don't have to judge it, but they're self-realized. They know they deserve to be treated. And they're not going to just settle. But we settle. We take the crumbs. When in truth, we're only giving ourselves the crumbs. The world wants to give us everything because the world is one with God. Well, I mean, that's just my feelings and my personal experience. You know, take what you want and leave the rest. But for me, if it's not good, it's not love. And where's the love in me? I got to go in and tweak maybe, or maybe like I was share, refine what isn't happening. Maybe the diamond has to be shined a little bit more. Maybe the gold has to go through that you know, banging and that heat before it feels like it really is the gold that it is. And sometimes you got to do some heavy, hardcore work, like journaling all the nonsense that's in us that we've you know, kind of accumulated in mind and feeling. All right, I didn't realize we have 90 seconds left. So I hope that whoever's listening to this show tonight, thank you for being here, you too, and whoever else is here. You've been amazing because you've helped me realign with the God and the love that I am and know that sacred union and marriage is within me, but it's within you and you as well and everybody else here. All we have to do is self-love. Let God love us. Let love give us all that it has to give. So have a beautiful weekend, you know, remembering that you are here to be loved. And not to look outside, because when you're there, it's going to appear like magic, like the genie out of the bottle. Have a beautiful night. Thank you, angels. Thank you for being with me tonight. It really means the world.
Thank you, Amanda.
I love you.
You
guys. I love
you. Thank you.
Bye-bye, angel.
Bye.